This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This hour of the Greg Hill Show with Dan Aykroyd in studio, brought to you by Stoneham Ford.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
We're on a mission from God.
Yorga, my brother. There will certainly be a lot of swinging in our bachelor pad tonight.
Jane, you ignorant slut.
Fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
It can't be. What is it? It can't be.
What did you do, Ray?
Oh, it's the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Cheeseburger, 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 cheeseburger.
Looking good, Billy Ray.
Welcome. I'm Julia Child. Today we're going to make the holiday feast or lay fate to it.
First of all, the full name of this product as it appears in stores all over the country is Johnny Switchblade Adventure Punk. So, Barbie takes a knife once in a while, or Ken gets cut.
Doctor.
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 And Doctor.
Well, we miss anyone?
Illinois Nazis.
Ifs, ands, and buts about it. You're spending the night with Fred Yarvin, male prostitute.
We're on a mission from God.
What do you want for nothing? Rubber biscuit? Bow.
Dan Aykroyd in the studio with us.
Hey, that was a compilation. I could take that with me and just put that in the cart and play it wherever we go.
Little something me and
step aside.
We put together for you.
Wow.
Did your whole life just flash before your eyes?
Sure enough.
Aykroyd.
You know what flashed before me is all the great people I worked with.
Yeah.
All those great projects. Murray's Voice and working with Eddie Murphy and Trading Places and just the collaborators I had, you know. It really was good work. It really was. It was the best. We were clicking on all 16 cylinders. You know?
Yeah, well, that's the way you want to be, is clicking and clicking. Well, Curtis is going to move you up closer to the microphone.
Okay,
I am Instagram Live, by the way. Greg Hill, WEEI, if you want to join me. Instagram Live with Dan Aykroyd. Are we also WEEI Instagram Live? Or what do you want over there?
Stan, he's running two cameras. So
Stanley Stiz-Grimey.
Yeah.
So
that was very nice. Thank you very
thank
much.
You.
Nick is here too. Nick came in because Nick is a huge fan.
Well-researched project. Introduction and thank you for that. Was very very.
You don't get
very nice. Very heartfelt.
Thank you. You don't get a chance to meet Elwood Blues. This is Ray Stantz. All right, or Dr. Detroit Wiggy. Yes, I know it's Dr. Detroit.
Right. Yeah, and you met Jermaine Wiggins.
The doctor.
He
had a metal hand.
Yes.
Where was I going? I don't know what was happening that night when I wrote that.
From a college student to a pimp.
Well, you know, it was based on a Bruce J. Friedman book, Detroit Abe, it was originally called, and you know, it was about a college guy who became a pimp. Bruce J. Friedman was a screenwriter and a novelist, you know. And, but I watched the Blues Brothers about, I guess it was a couple of months ago, because we're thinking of maybe taking it to Broadway as an idea, you know, because you think of the music and you could get imagine getting someone to play the nun like, you know, Jennifer Hudson or, I don't know, somebody great. John's performance in that was just incredible. It was, every note was perfect. And I must say, the Elwood, like, it was buttoned up. Not a glimpse of me came through there. It was really solid work. And it holds up, you know.
Now, how would you wreck 300 police cars in a Broadway musical? That's the that is the over under about how many police cars
I
you wreck.
I think
right?
That's why people are going to see the show. They're going how are they going to do that? We'll figure it out.
When it comes to John Belushi, he was, you know, obviously a great comedic actor, but also, you know, a great dramatic actor.
Well, he would have been. Yeah, I believe that if John had lived through the horrors of Hollywood and whatever happened there, which was unfortunate and related to drugs, and that's a big problem in the world today, of course, we know that, especially with the opioids. But, you know, he died in an ignominious way, but he had a magnificent, glorious career. His friends included Judge Jim Garrison and Lauren Bacall. I believe that he loved theater. He was well-read in terms of theater. He loved plays. I think that he would probably be a director today on Broadway, living in New York, and mounting plays, you know. I think that's what he would be doing now. I don't know that he would survive, could have survived what happened in the years afterwards, because Hollywood has changed a lot now, you know.
In what way?
The exploitation of talent now for little money now. The streaming services are basically, you know, they're wiping out a lot of artists' careers.
What do you think of, we were talking about it yesterday, of basically CGI-ing James Dean into a new movie?
Irishman, of course, has youthened Pesci. And De Niro, Pacino. Carrie Fisher appeared, and so did Peter Cushing in the Star Wars. So it's absolutely totally possible that you could be having James Dean do a romantic comedy with somebody today, or doing an adventure movie or a war movie. It's a matter of the estate licensing the property, licensing the likeness.
But as an actor, as a great actor, if somebody came to you and said, "We want to do a prequel, a Blues Brothers prequel, and we can do it CGI-wise and have you guys be younger."
Rather hire a couple of really neat actors to, you know, I've always thought Ed Norton would be a great Elwood, a young Elwood, or Andrew Garfield, you know, one of these great young actors, you know, and to play the part. But, well, you know, anything's possible with CGI today.
So that wouldn't bother you?
Well, if the story was right, of course I would want some input there.
So when you were making Blues,
the Broadway a play kind of touches in a prequel way on where they came from.
I think it'd be great.
Wow.
Take
my money, please.
You want to invest?
At intermission, can
I guarantee? You know,
can I get dry white
bad business?
Dry white toast, 4 fried chickens, and a Coke at intermission.
Know what? We should serve that.
You should.
When you walk into the theater on Broadway, it should smell like chicken and waffles. And it should be it. You know, no popcorn, no M&Ms. I love popcorn and M&Ms. I love mixing them, but there should be. You know, there should be that chicken, dry white toast, and Cokes.
And Cokes.
That's it.
Yeah. So
I Crystal Head vodka to pour
and
on the
Crystal
Coke.
Head vodka, your vodka.
Leave that alone for now. Let's talk about this stuff. Go ahead.
Having read, stories, Vanity Fair pieces and books about the making of Blues Brothers and how long it took and how wildly over budget it went, are some of the stories true that you guys would be in the middle of filming and then Belushi would literally just wander into the woods and not show up for 2 days?
Yeah, you know, it was $28 million it cost. So back then, look at what that is today. I mean, that's a bargain today. $28 million the movie cost. It did go over. We were shooting nights on that. We couldn't go back to SNL. We had to keep on the movie. That's why we left. And yes, there was a budget for cocaine built in there. But, you know, look, I mean, I that was never a favorite to powder of mine. But, you know, you've got some in the trades, may I say, some of the support, the key support we need in a film, working at night. You know, coffee won't do it. And, and you know, then you have musicians, of course, from the 60s and 70s in the band. And at that time, that was a currency. It was a currency. At that time, that was what went on. One night was a cold night there. We were in Harvey, Illinois at the mall. We were about to shoot some of the mall scene, driving in the mall. It was about, 2 in the morning, and lunch had been called, and it was over, and everybody was looking for Belushi, and we couldn't find him. He was not in his trailer. He wasn't anywhere. And I'm thinking, what's going on? Okay, and I see that there's kind of a worn path through the asphalt there with the grass growing up. It was an abandoned mall in Harvey. It's gone now. But I see there's a path, and I think, well, anybody walking out of here would logically take that path. So I follow the path into the neighborhood, the adjacent neighborhood. I cross the street. I look at all these darkened houses. I see one light on, and I go, okay, all right, well, I look, every house is dark, except there's one light on here. I'm following my thoughts, thinking, maybe, yep, I could see, and I walked up to the front door, and I knocked on the door, and a gentleman came to the door, and in his robe and that, and I said, we're filming over here in the mall, and we're missing one of our actors. Oh, yeah, Belushi, he's asleep on my couch. He came in and raided my fridge about 25 minutes ago, and he's asleep on my couch.
Imagine.
Yeah.
Like 2
the guest who would never leave.
It's like 2 a.m. and John Belushi's knocking on your
door. No, totally. He could knock on any door in America then. And so I said, John, we got to go back to work, and then we shot the mall scene. It was a classic, and a classic scene, but... I remember we were up here doing some radio, and there was an elementary school around here someplace, and we pulled up in the rental car we were driving, and John got out and went to the first floor. Oh, this was when Animal House had come out, for the first floor of the elementary school, and started knocking on the windows. And all the kids recognized him, and by the time we pulled away from the corner, all four floors were screaming at him, you know, because, you know, Belushi was out on the street. He was truly a superstar and one of those people who lit up a room when he
walked in. I mean, you think about the people who he ran with, whether he ran, I mean, you probably hang out with him and John Lennon.
Well, I didn't meet Lennon. He did, I believe. I've, of course, met Paul McCartney and Ringo and George Harrison. I was a guest in both his homes. Lovely, you know, great. The Beatles, I mean.
Yeah.
I met three Beatles. That's, you know, yeah. I can just go, thank you very
good.
Much now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, I'm done, you know. And James Brown, of course. But Belushi, you know, he had very distinguished friends, and he was in the elite of the entertainment world, because he was smart and he was funny and he was dangerous a little
bit.
People like sometimes you like that, you know.
Speaking of danger, like, do you, in with today's cancel culture, do you think that you guys could get away with things that you got away with on Saturday Night Live today?
Well, I think they're doing bold stuff right now on the show, and they're getting away with as much as they can. Well, the political humor and I don't know, the smartness of the writing and nailing characters I believe. I don't know if the Blues Brothers could get made as a movie today.
I was going to ask you about that.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Some of that classic stuff. I don't know if you can do Buckwheat sings, this, you know, songs or James Brown, Put Me in the Hot Tub. I wanted to ask.
Well, that's Eddie Murphy. That's, you know, that's a black person parodying a black person.
He's even said, because he's got a new special.
He wants to do Buckwheat.
Right. And the
he does?
He wants to go out, and he said he wants to do Buckwheat in the show.
He's got a new Netflix. He's supposed to do another stand-up thing. The thing that was interesting that you said at the beginning of the show that I wanted to ask you about is, you obviously, you were in the movie Trading Places with Eddie Murphy. I'm a huge Eddie Murphy fan.
And Jamie Lee Curtis.
And we had just talked about My Name is Dolomite, which he played Rudy Ray Moore.
I can't wait to see it out.
Tremendous.
Been on the road.
And I wanted to ask, like, who were some of your influences, like, when you kind of got into that business of, you know, comedians? You know, who were the guys that you said, oh, man, that's pretty cool?
Well, of course, now you're talking to the Tyrannosaur.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was born 7 years after World War II. There were no disposable lighters when I was born. There were no VCRs. There were no mobile phones, except the police had them in their trunks, and they took up half a trunk. You know, so I go back to Lucille Ball, Desi Arnaz, the black and white comedies of America in the 50s. Phil Silvers, I loved Bilko.
How, go, woman, why? Right. You brought a whore to the barracks? Why? get him out of here, get him.
You know, he was incredible.
Like a Sid Caesar, your show of shows fan?
I loved. That was why Lauren made SNL, because of Sid Caesar and the Colgate-Palmolive of your show, you know, hour. And he said, I'm going to recreate live TV.
And the world-famous 23rd floor, which had the greatest comedy writers of all time working
17th
on there.
17th floor, right. Yeah. Still there and still doing it and vibrant as ever. And it's just, it's really great that we have the show and, you know, in the times we're living in this world we're living in. We need to laugh, and we need intelligent commentary on it.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask.
Phil Silvers, Lucille Ball, Danny Thomas.
No, I was just going to ask, when's the last time you did a Saturday Night Live? Because I know Eddie Murphy's supposed to be doing it. Is there ever a chance that they could bring back some of the guys that are still obviously with us that were the classics, like yourself, Eddie, Steve Martin did Saturday Night Live?
There was the anniversary show, the 40th, and I think at the 50th, maybe, possibly.
Where you guys actually maybe do some of those classic skits?
I would like to revisit the Czech Brothers, for instance. But again, I don't know now. Is that appropriation?
Right.
Are we appropriating Czech culture for comedy here in America?
I mean, if we have to change the lyrics of "Baby, It's Cold Outside," then I don't know. I don't imagine you could do some of that stuff.
That's right.
Isn't that ridiculous, though? Like
You know, you have to look at it from the woman's point of view. It's a cold night. She doesn't have a car. He's going, please stay. She's going, well, no. You know, you have to
turn
it around.
But it's a song from 1944.
But in 1944, that stuff was going on.
Yeah.
But I don't think the songwriter intended it to be that way. And for me, it's always been a warm, wonderful evocation of winter.
Yeah.
And to cozy up with someone you love that way, and they're playful and all that. But again, you know, you look at today's world, you've got to look at it from, you know, I'm being confined. What's next down in the basement? Is it going to be Cloverfield Road here, like with John Goodman and the girl in the basement? Are there shackles coming? You know, I mean, you don't know. Today, a woman, when I walk by at night on a busy street or at an isolated street in a city and a woman's coming towards me, I'm going, she must be terrified. I look like a monster. You know, I'm like 6'1", old white male, you know, and it's like, you know, I'm a figure of harm maybe to women because of what's been happening in the world.
Yeah.
Believe me, that's not my intention at all. I want to be a protector. You know, I take a knife for anyone really.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, we all have our favorite Dan Aykroyd movies, Dr. Detroit, Blues Brothers, could be Spies Like Us, Great Outdoors. I've recently showed my son Ghostbusters, and now this is 6.
Oh, good. Good age. That's
absolutely loves the movie to death. Can't watch it enough.
Well, I did. Dan Aykroyd.
What's his name?
What's son's name?
Thomas.
Okay, and does he have the kit, the proton pack, the stuff?
He does want to go as a Ghostbuster for Halloween one day.
He named after Tom Brady?
Maybe.
Oh. Of course he was.
Right. Well, Dan Aykroyd is here. I actually want to talk about the new Ghostbusters movie. So can we? We'll take a break and do that. Is that all right? All right. And Dan is here because he's in town supporting his vodka.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to talk about.
You have
about,
a Ford sponsorship, don't you? Stoneham Ford.
Yeah. Stoneham Ford. Good. You like the Stoneham Ford people?
I like Ford Motors. I'm a Ford.
You're
man,
a Ford guy.
Of, you know, not to say the other brands are great. And I love driving them. I'm driving a Yukon right now, and I do enjoy the Dodge Ram. There's a good motor in that, but we've always been the Ford Motor fans in the Aykroyd family.
Are you like a car guy? Are you somebody who has lots of like? Do you collect?
Oh, I have a beautiful car now. That is a sleeper.
Yeah,
it's very fast, and you look at it and go, "Oh, look at that poor old man driving that Mercury Marquis."
Oh.
Oh yeah, it was a government car, and so something's been done to the motor. And I have Mercedes pull up behind me on the 401 highway, you know, and they go, "Okay, the geriatric mobile, get them." They come up tailgating me, and I just go, whoop, "Gone!" Men in Black car is what it is.
You have the light on it.
Yeah. It doesn't. All the sirens or lights are gone, but they were built by the government, and I have two of them. And we chase each other around. Yeah. I drive both of them at once.
All right. Well, Dan Aykroyd is here, and we'll be right back to talk about Ghostbusters, the new Ghostbusters.
It's all quiet in Foxborough this Sunday. But Tom and Coach Belichick will still be here for Patriots Monday. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Moxie Soda, distinctively different week 10 in the NFL. Began last night, Raiders over the Chargers, 26-24. Josh Jackson, an 18-yard run with a minute to go for the win. Antonio Brown backtracking on Twitter after his first rant where he declared he'd never play in the NFL again. AB reportedly will meet with the league next Thursday. ESPN's Josina Anderson says there are teams interested in signing him. BC football will be on our flagship 93.7 in Boston tomorrow, 11:30 a.m. That's after Mark and Hart live from the Heights, Florida State in town. Kemba Walker returned to Charlotte with the Celtics, teared up after a 90-second video tribute. Kemba only 14 points in the game, but the Seas cruised 108-87. Gordon Hayward, another big night, 20 points and 10 boards. Jason Tatum, 23-9. Next up, a trip to San Antonio. Silver Slugger Awards for Mookie Betts and Xander Bogaerts, and the Bruins in Detroit tonight. A 7:30 face-off. Jake DeBrusk will miss due to a lower body injury. This is The Greg Hill Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today. The Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Dan Aykroyd is in the studio with
us. How about that 19-year-old drummer Steve Jordan and that organ, that Hammond B3, Paul Schaefer, and John's vocals on that record are terrific, huh?
Whose idea?
That was a Wayne Cochran tune.
Whose idea was doing the Blues Brothers? Was that you or was that John Belushi?
I was in Chicago in 1974, and it was the summer that Nixon resigned. We were doing Second City. I was in Chicago, and we'd swapped companies. Candy, the Canadians came down to Chicago, and the American company went up to Canada and did the show, Flaherty and Brian Murray. And Gilda and Candy and I, we did Chicago in August 74. And that was when Nixon resigned. And, of course, I was on stage, you know, doing, "Now that I've got some time, I'd like to invite you to San Clemente Dodge Chrysler, where we have a special on Dodge Diplomats, and I'll show you personally and drive you a demonstrator. I'll be here weekly," you know. And so it was really, really a fun time. And I was observing Chicago at the time, and at the time there was a thing where they were going to tax the Catholic Church and school institutions. The Cook County was going to tax the church and tax the and give up tax exemptions for the church. And so it was a very howling protest there. And as an ex-seminarian, I thought, ooh, there's an interesting political thing going on there. That's church and state, and that's, you know, the exemption of tax. And then it was a big thing in Chicago. So that was kind of the germ of the story, really. And then later when I met John, I had met John already, but later when we did SNL, we began to discuss the idea of doing a blues band. I met him really when I was still at Second City, and that night we conceived the Blues Brothers in 70, I think it was 73, we conceived the Blues Brothers, and because we were listening to a Down Child Blues record, a Canadian band, and John was in the old speakeasy we had, the 505 Club, and he'd come in to raid talent for Lampoon. He took Gilda with him, but I didn't go because I had too many rackets going up there in Toronto. I didn't want to leave. And one of them was an after-hours club, which was amazing. We had so much fun there. And he was listening to the record. He said, "Oh, what's that?" I said, "That's a blues record. You're from Chicago. You know the blues." And he said, "I'm into heavy metal, grand funk, and, you know, Led Zeppelin." And that's all from the blues. And we started to talk about music. And Howard Shore was there. He was the great composer. And I believe Schaefer might have been there that night, because a lot of the kids from Second City would come back there to the 505 Club and after hours. And Shore said, "Well, yeah, you could form a band and call yourself the Blues Brothers." Okay, right, okay. So then we go off to do the thing in Chicago. And fusing those two ideas is where it came from.
I mentioned the new Ghostbusters movie. I think when we last had you on the old show, there were rumors and you were maybe going to do it, not going to do it. So give us a little update on that.
Jason Reitman wrote a beautiful, heartfelt script that takes the real DNA from the first two movies and transfers that directly to the third. The next generation hands the legacy off to a new generation of stars and players and actors and characters. And we've shot our part, myself, Murray Sigourney, and Annie Potts, and it was really exciting working on this new idea, a new take on the story, which Jason, who's a really credible and fine filmmaker, came up with. So I'm pretty excited. You know, you never know in the film business. You know, it's nobody knows anything. Nobody knows nothing, as the great writer William Goldman said. You know, nobody knows anything. You don't know what's going to be a hit or not. But I have really good feelings for this, just because of the quality of the stars we've got there. We've got some really terrific young actors and a great story, a great setting. It's going to be scary. It's going to be thought provoking. It's going to be very heartfelt. You'll feel it if you have loved ones that you miss and you've lost and you want to get back with. It's going to be kind of a evocative in that way.
And it's kind of beautiful symmetry, too, that you've got the son of the original Ghostbusters director, Ivan Reitman, making it. But I have to say, we should take a moment to pour one for and remember the great Egon Spengler, because Harold Ramis, who you had the chance to collaborate with many times, obviously, was, I think he's oft forgotten as the comedic genius, not only on screen, he was very funny on screen, but the number of great comedic movies that he helped write and direct. I mean, Hillman, this is a guy who did Caddyshack and Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
I mean, like two of your top ten probably easily.
Yeah, I miss him a lot. He was, of course, a really intelligent, great writer and collaborator. We paid tribute to him in the movie that Paul Feig made with the girls. You know, he was there in a bust, and you know, and Billy and I showed up to work on that because we had faith in that vision. And they were incredible, those ladies, and that's going to be a great standalone piece in time, and it's a great part of the pantheon of the Ghostbusters myth and legend. I mean, you can't beat the performances of those ladies. Incredible. And there were some great spirits in there. I love the one at the end with the red bow tie. So we paid tribute to Harold there, and of course in this we'll recognize him in this film in some way, however small.
What's your personal belief about spirits and people like what after like? What happens?
I think you got to look to going and you got to look on your search engine and get out and get some references on Hans Holzer, Holzer. He was a Dutch gentleman, an immigrant to America, but he like the family that worked on the movie, the Annabelle movie. Family, I forget their names now.
The two, the husband and wife from Connecticut?
That's right. Yes, now they're genuine Ghostbusters, and so was Hans Holzer, and they have very credible stories and details, and so I think just from their work alone, one could start to believe that there's something going on there, and I personally believe I'm a spiritualist. I believe in the other side. I believe that that the consciousness survives after death and can communicate with us here if we want them to. There's a school in England called Arthur Findlay College. It's in Essex in England, and you can train to be a medium there, although I wouldn't want to be a medium. It's very hard. You're sucking energy from the other side. It depletes you. It's exhausting. It's scary. It's like,
takes a lot out of you.
It takes a lot out of you. I wouldn't want to do it. But no, my religion.
I'm an extra large. I would love to be a medium.
Nailed it, Greg.
Did I nail that?
Nailed
with Dan Aykroyd.
Double X. But I believe it's my religion, and I accept skeptics' views, but my beliefs are that mediumship is genuine, and John Edwards was a very talented guy.
Yeah,
I think, and I like researching it. It's entertaining, first of all.
Yeah,
I mean, highly entertaining. Yeah.
Well, you and Danielle share, I believe, a belief about aliens. And
absolutely.
About
have you seen a ship?
No.
Uh-huh.
Well, not that I know of. I mean, maybe we don't know what they look like.
Well, how about the testimony of David Fravor, the F-18 pilot who chased the Tic Tac? He said the thing turned at 90 degrees at like 3,000 miles an hour. How about General De Bruer? He said, my boys were chasing this thing. It was going 5,000 miles an hour with F-15s. They're chasing it in Belgium in the 70s. God, astronauts have spoken of it. There's a great movie out about Apollo, about Neil Armstrong that just came out, and it was really a terrific film. But they couldn't hide the one little speck that went through there. And there's a shot there that you used of real footage. And you see the thing fly by the window. Now, that's not urine on the window. That's not a...
Space dust.
It's a glowing disc. It's an unexplained aerial construct or unexplained aerial vehicle. Lord Hill Norton, he was an official with the Defense Department in London, and he said, my evidence tells me that there's 23 different species coming and going like taxis in different types of vehicles. And you look at the experiences of Barney and Betty Hill and Travis Walton, who are straight up abducted. I've been in a room with 400 abductees who claim that we've all been taken. And I asked them, I said, how many of you would want this to happen again? And half of them put up their hands, half of them said no. There was one guy there. He had one arm. I don't know why. He was a Wall Street trader, and he said they picked me up out of my sailboat in Long Island Sound in a blue light. I don't know whether he lost his arm in the thing or not, but he said, I can't wait for them to come back. There was a Massachusetts lady. She was a socialite. She was very, very wealthy, and she said, all I cared about was shopping. And then they stopped in my backyard, and they the two little beings got out and said, you can change the world. Now she's a leading climate ecological protester and, wow. and financier and philanthropist. Jan Harzan is an IBM mainframe engineer. He's the head of MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network, which you can get on, World Wide Web, MUFON.com. Why he's there? He's when he was 10 years old, he and his brother were in Marin County and an orange orb landed in the backyard. Two little beings came out and played with them for 5 hours and then came back the next day. And he goes, I that's not a helicopter. That's not a, how did that happen? He went into science because of that. And now he's one of our leading researchers and leading lights in the exposure of this phenomenon.
Oh, my God.
So there's a wrap for
that. They dropped out of my backyard and give me some technology to make some money.
Well, yeah, invisibility. What power, if you had, could have a magic, a superpower, what would it be? Flying?
The ability to eliminate all traffic.
You bet, man.
There are plenty of times I wish I was invisible.
Yeah, I like that, yeah. But you have to be naked, like Claude Rains in The Invisible Man.
I rule the world.
Great movie. There is one talent, though, I think that we glossed over in the film. Filmography that a lot of people would love to know. Of course, you got to play the great Ray Zelinsky. You make car parts for the American man back in Tommy Boy. What was it like working with Chris? Was Chris Farley as loving, warm, and
he was beautiful.
Dynamic as everyone said?
He was beautiful. I loved him. Everyone loved Chris. He was wonderful. He was a beautiful guy. Terrific guy. It was one of those things there where, he was out of shape and couldn't handle what was given to him, and he pushed himself, though. He loved Belushi, and he tried to emulate him perhaps maybe too much.
Yeah.
I have to be fair to some good people who've been helping us out with the vodka.
Oh, yeah.
Because
let's
I'm on the radio
the
now. Well, I just, I think as everybody knows now, it's the cleanest vodka on the planet. No terpenes, no sugar, no glyceride, 11 gold medals, 75 countries, 25 million bottles sold. It's just a good, clean vodka to make cocktails with. And
it's called Crystal Head.
It comes in the skull. And what we're going to be doing, though, we're going to be over here at...
Cappy's.
At Cappy's, yeah. I want
tomorrow.
To, yeah, that's right, tomorrow, Saturday.
Good people over there at Cappy's.
Is that the one on Route 1?
It's a great packing.
I believe it is. Just looking.
Which one is it, Maria? Cappy's... Peabody.
Okay, yeah, that's the one.
Cappy's Peabody.
114. Yeah, and we're going to be there. So come by, get a bottle, get your Christmas presents solved, and you're buying a nice, clean vodka made in Newfoundland by the good people up there.
And you're also going to be at Yankee Spirits today. What time
that's
is that going to
correct.
Be?
That's, yes.
We don't know.
Because these people are really helping us out by giving us their stores to promote our product and bring their... people in their clients and that. So I did want to say, when is that the when's the signing today or the visit today?
Yankee Spirits. Tomorrow at Cappy's.
Okay, Yankee Spirits where? In Peabody?
No, Yankee Spirits is
Norwood.
Norwood.
Cappy's in Peabody.
That's where Norwood Ford is.
Stoneham Ford.
Stoneham Ford
right
is also
Norwood.
Yeah, but Norwood Ford is the I that's who I deal with.
May I recommend
if you're looking for a brand new Ford Taurus, try either Stoneham or Norwood Ford.
Could I recommend a cocktail?
Take
Crystal Head and Midori, but you don't cross the streams when you pour it, and because it'll turn out green, you call it a Slimer.
I love it. Call it a Slimer.
That's a funky cold Midori.
What made you?
No, that would be a nice drink if you cut it with a little egg white or soda water, not too sweet.
Ooh, yeah. There we go,
Slimer.
The Slimer. We've Dan, what made it. You? What made you get into the vodka business?
I'm sorry to say this, but if you open some of the lesser priced brands, open them up, they smell like nothing, or they smell very offensive. I couldn't believe what vodka smelled like. I said, why do they smell like that? And the industry specialist told me. Those are flavor packages. Flavor packages? I thought vodka was supposed to be tasteless, odorless, and colorless. Oh, no, it can have taste. But that taste that I taste when I taste it, it's over viscous, and it tastes too sweet, and it's, what's going on there? Well, that's because they add glycerides. What's that? Well, that's a lipid. It's a synthetic, basically, you have lipids in our body, sugars and that, and so... They synthesize that, and actually it's a cousin to glycol, which is antifreeze. They don't put enough in to kill you or hurt you. And I'm going, wait, I want to make a cocktail. I want antifreeze in it. And then he says, well, it's not enough to hurt you, but it's the, well, is glyceride a cousin of glycol or not? Well, yes, okay. And what else do they put in there? Oh, well, they put terpene in there, like a lemon oil to cut the smell of the alcohol and the taste of the alcohol and kind of neutralize it. What? I thought we wanted to have alcohol. We're having cocktails. I said, what's the terpene? Oh, it's limonene. It's citrus oil. Wait a minute, citrus oil? I saw the guy on TV with a mustard jar full of citrus oil cut through grease. Well, in its raw form, it can be used as a caustic cleanser. Wait a minute, I don't want cleanser in my vodka. Well, they don't put enough in to hurt you or kill you. It's standard industry practice. Not if I make a vodka. What else do they add? Well, they add cane sugar. No. I say, I can make a vodka that's a pure spirit. We can eliminate the flavor packages. Let's try it. No glyceride, no terpenes, no limonene, no sugar. 11 gold medals. We won the Prodexpo Excellent Taste Medal in Moscow.
Ah,
okay.
That's awesome.
That's fantastic. All right.
So it is. There's no additives. If you're a bartender at home or a professional, you can take anything and add it to Crystal Head. It's going to taste great. Plus, the alcohol taste will creep up over there because we're not masking it or hiding it at all. One of our biggest markets on the planet is the city of London alone. Why? Because bar chefs there are molecularly constructing cocktails. They love Crystal Head as the virgin canvas, as the base to make their cocktails. And I just didn't like the way some of them smelled or didn't smell. And so, you know, I went into it. Now we make it at the only state owned still in the world. The government of the province of Newfoundland, Labrador Liquor Distillery Corporation, makes it there in Newfoundland, Canada. The love of the people of Newfoundland go into it. And it's distilled four times for our notes, sweet, vanilla, dry, crisp, with a kick of heat off the finish. And then we also do a micro filtration and a charcoal filtration. And then we pour it over the Herkimer semi-precious stones. Ooh. For a final satiny finish. And six shots, I can tell you, 6 to 8 shots, maybe 6 shots. No hangover because there's no glyceride in it. Yeah. It doesn't have any of that stuff in it, and that's what gives you the hangover.
That'll be the next vodka chug. We'll use that for the next vodka chug.
We'll have a little tonight, maybe. But yes. When you shake it and put in a martini, 2.5 ounces in a shaker with ice chips, a twist of lemon, or a little olive there. It goes down like water. It's very, very dangerous. Now, you wouldn't drive your... You wouldn't... I caution.
I've had it. I love it.
I mean, everything in moderation. You wouldn't drive your Ducati at 250 miles an hour. It'll do 220. You're not going to drive it at 220 miles an hour. And you're not going to drink, you know, 9 glasses of Crystal Head Martini, but you might have 3 or 4.
And we could do really cool things with the bottle afterwards, too.
Well, they put M&Ms. You should go on our website, worldwidewebcrystalhead.com, and look at all the things that are done. I saw one with a zipper, a leather with a zipper up the back of it, rhinestones on one. They've brassed it. They've golded it silver. I saw one with M&Ms in it, one with model airplane paint, one with colored sand. Oh, they put tiles and mosaics. There's thousands of pictures of what artists have done around the world. And, you know, to be honest, it is an artist's project. My friend John Alexander designed the bottle. He's a painter and a sculptor. I'm a writer. And so it came from artists. It comes from creative spirit, and it's a little different than anything out there. And it's the only vodka that you can put, the only bottle that you can put a Santa hat on at Christmas, an eye patch at Halloween, or a derby at St. Patrick's Day,
a leprechaun.
Can't put that in any other bottle. Thanks for letting
Dan
me get
Dan Aykroyd is here. We got a few minutes left with you. I'm going to take a quick break, and then you've been in so many movies. And as I get older, I'm 52, I forget a lot of stuff. I want to play a few lines from movies from you and just see if you can recall the film.
Well, that's doubtful.
No. I think you'll be pretty good. We picked some pretty good. I mean, you've been in so many amazing movies. So
I'll have to write them down.
Dan Aykroyd is our guest, and we'll be right back.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
And I wonder what the matter with time. It seems like everything will change. It seems like this woman that I've been loving, I found some other man. I hold up my hand. I'm just trying to get my baby to understand. See, my baby don't love me no more. Or because somebody of hoodoo, the hoodoo man.
It's been our pleasure to have Dan Aykroyd with us this morning, and not only is he in town talking about UFOs and spirits and Ghostbusters, but also talking about Crystal Head Vodka. And so
I love Boston. I can't come here anymore without thinking about the strength and resilience of this community after the tragedy of the marathon. Like, we can't go to New York anymore and think about it. I love this city. I love, respect these citizens here and love this town so much. And it's just an inspiration to come back here. And it's always very moving now. And I see it in a different light, you know, because that showed the world how a community can coalesce and come together. We need that in the planet right now.
If you get a chance, maybe before dinner tonight, go down to Boylston Street and check out there's a beautiful memorial there. And it's really, you go to it and you feel exactly what you're saying is how you feel when you visit it. So
I felt it coming in on the 93 in the pouring rain the other night.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Do you ever, a texter earlier, we're on the Cape, and a texter was asking if you ever get over to the Vineyard at all.
I'll be on the ferry tomorrow night, I think.
Good.
I got to go see if I find my... Find Bill Murray and then Larry Bilzerian. I got to go find my buddies, you know.
Do you talk to Bill Murray a lot?
Oh, well, we were on the set together this autumn, and always so much fun, my God. The Murricane, it's a blast to be with him.
The Murricane.
What takes you a minute to do will take a day. What takes you a day to do will take a month. What takes you a month to do will take a year with him.
He
slows life down. He's so much fun.
Our guy Stanley Stizgrimy, who's been operating various social media outlets this morning,
I see that.
Is upset that I haven't mentioned My Girl yet. He believes that is an overlooked film.
Well, it was very moving, that movie. It was written by a lady whose father was a funeral director. And in fact, you know, I'm very proud of some recognitions that I've had. I'm wearing the Order of Canada here. It's a vice regal decoration for Canadians who want to make their country a better place. I have been nominated for a Grammy, nominated for an Academy Award. I won an Emmy with our crew at Saturday Night Live writing. I won the Prodexpo in Moscow with the vodka.
That's awesome.
One of the awards that really stands out is the award I got from the California Undertakers Association for sympathetic portrayal of a funeral director.
Wow, that's pretty good.
I'm proud of that.
Not often portrayed in a great light.
I'm very proud of that one.
And Wiggy got to see his first.
I thought he was going to say from the Pimps.
From the Pimps. Pimps
were players, boy. Yeah.
Wiggy's obsessed with Dr. Detroit because he got to see his first boobs in it. Now, what about you, Dan? First movie that you got to see boobs in? Do you remember?
Well, you're going back to like a Betty Page short somewhere. I don't know. Seen in an 8mm, you know, in a steam beck at the National Film Board that some guy smuggled in Canada, in Ottawa, you know, and look at this.
Well, stag party in Windsor. Yeah.
Speaking of movies, we're just going to run through a couple lines from films, and you've been in so many that I want to check and see if you... are able to identify some of these great films that you're in. Are you ready for this?
I don't know whether my neurons and axions
are firing.
Let's see what happens.
Let's go with cut number one.
Listen, I can get a dessert down them. Think you could throw in a couple of Paul Bunyan hats for the kids?
Is that Uncle Roman?
Yes, nailed it. Great Outdoors. Yeah. Great movie. Great movie. Say pretty good.
The old 96er, Greg.
John Hughes wrote that film. What a wonderful collaborator he was. He was so great. I loved working with him.
Yeah.
He was a very prolific screenwriter, you know, and he wrote Breakfast Club and 16 Candles, and we had a ball on that movie.
Cut one from the next one, Ken.
I had the most absurd nightmare. I was poor and no one liked me.
Yes, obviously Trading Places.
And you mentioned Eddie Murphy earlier.
I'm so excited to see his stand-up tour. It's going to be on TV, and we're going to be around the country. And he's going to be hosting SNL Christmas, I believe.
I think it's Christmas.
Lovely.
Did you feel like that he was forced into apologizing for Raw, essentially? For some of his stuff he did.
The mistakes that he made when he was younger. Well, some of the bits that he did.
You know, as far as the homophobic stuff, maybe as a kid he didn't meet a gay person. And he didn't, maybe, I don't know, maybe that was just not a world that was exposed to him.
Yeah.
You know, and I
but
think...
But it's years later. I mean,
you know, I mean, it is years later, and that he should apologize and should have, and that was good to recognize at least You know, because look at the persecution that, you know, this segment of society goes through.
Yeah.
And that.
But isn't it comedy, though, right? Like, if that's you're going there to see it, and this is what comedy is. Comedy makes fun of a lot of different things.
It depends upon the soundbite or the joke as you hear it. It's kind of what context it's in and that. I guess you got to take it as a one-off, and look at each.
But if you hear it 30 years later, 20 years later, you're looking at it from a different perspective.
I would probably react differently. I'm a little sensitive about that because, you know.
All right, cut one from the next one if you can.
Well, my man, you trying to tell me you don't have a social security number?
Correct.
Why not?
I am an illegal alien.
Sinbad.
France.
And the Coneheads. Yeah. Wasn't he wonderful? Oh, he was so... And Adam Sandler was in that film. It was one of his first movies. And, that's my favorite. If I had to say, like, if they say, you know, you get to do any movie or any TV or any character you want, I would do that one.
That would
That's
be
my
it?
Favorite character right
That's
there.
Your favorite
I
character?
I feel like...
Beldar? Alien,
yeah.
You will be spared when my species overtakes your miserable planet.
We are from France.
Yeah.
Now, did your true belief in UFOs come before Coneheads or after Coneheads?
My mother saw a UFO in 1947, and she was with the munitions and supply department in World War II on aircraft production. She was directed some of the programs for building the fuselages for the Hurricane fighter, and she knew air charts. She could tell the difference between a Junkers 88 and a B-17 because they had to learn that. You know, the air silhouettes, they put it on the ceiling, and you'd say, everybody in the War Department had to learn that. So in 1947, she's on Spark Street in Ottawa. She used to tell this story rarely, and she said she looked up in the sky, and there was a Christmas tree ornament about 500 feet above the street, and it was winking red, green, white, red, green, white. And she, that's funny. Is that some kind of a display from a department store or something? And she looked at it and stared at it and stared at it and looked around. No one else saw it, and it just sort of zipped away. And then she told my dad, her dad at that point, because she hadn't met my dad, but... And then she always had magazines around the house, Life and Look, and anywhere they talked about flying saucers, she always made sure she bought that and to read up on it, you know. And she spoke rarely of it, so that kind of had got my interest going in it, and a sighting.
How many sightings have you had?
I've seen four of them.
You've seen four UFOs?
Pretty damn sure they're not meteoric bolides, not helicopters, not Venus, not a moving planet. You can tick through all of them. I know what I saw, and I'm convinced. Yeah. I had witnesses with one event, two events, in fact.
It wasn't during that night when you were filming the movie when you and Belushi were doing substances.
Well, there was some stuff going on in Illinois at that time. There were big black triangles parking over a place called Tinley Park. And if you look at Sam Maranto's work, Maranto, MUFON, he's the specialist there. These things were huge, and they would sit and park over the neighborhood where people were having their family barbecue and just hover there. And this is on the Emmets now. This is not me making this up. And then we had the sighting at O'Hare where the thing came down and landed on a baggage ramp and, you know, 30 people saw it. And then it just went up and punched a hole through the clouds. And, of course, they said, that's a punch hole cloud formation.
Punch hole.
So a lot of stuff going on in Illinois at that time. But no, that night, the only UFO around was Belushi, and we found him.
All right, we got one more for you, because I know you got a busy schedule today, but let's try this one.
What the American public doesn't know is what makes them the American public, all right?
Ray Zelensky, yeah.
As Nick said earlier, one of the great characters ever.
Yeah.
And then I had forgotten until somebody sent a text, but you were in Driving Miss Daisy also, which is a great movie.
Well directed. And, you know, why didn't the director get some recognition?
Bruce Beresford, right?
That's right. It won Best Picture of 1989. Jessica won an Oscar for it. It was really a great collaboration. And why the director didn't recognize, I don't know. But, yeah. Again, that movie today, you know, it might take a little heat.
Yeah.
I don't know. And like Green Book took a little heat, but yeah. I thought Green Book was a terrific
what we got. We got Green Book, the reverse of Driving Miss Daisy.
Yeah. Driving Mr. Daisy. Yeah.
I thought Green Book was good, though.
Yeah, I liked Green Book. Yeah. I like, what's his name, Viggo
Mortensen.
And Mahershala Ali is a tremendous actor.
Yeah. Who do you, when you look at actors today, who do you look at and say that's a really, really good actor or actress?
Billy Bob Thornton. I've been watching Goliath. He's just one of the, like, it's watching him is going, geez, you know, I wish I'd known that when I was working. I wish I'd seen that one. I wish I'd seen the way you go. Oh, boy, you steal from him. He's just terrific. Just a really great natural actor. You just go, wow, the time he takes with it. It's just really, really, he's one of the best.
Well, Nick, you got anything else?
I've seen everything I need to see at this point. I've heard everything that needs to be heard.
I was inoculated with a gramophone needle at birth. You know, I could talk a taxi dispatcher into a vial of silence. I could talk an air raid siren to scrap. So, you know, you got the chatter here today.
How likely is the Broadway, the Blues Brothers heading to Broadway? How likely?
I'd say 100%.
100%.
Yes.
When do you think?
Well, these things take years to mount, so it's at least 2-3 years until that opening night, and boy, that'll be fun.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah,
that'd
screaming down a Broadway in a bluesmobile, you know.
What's your favorite Blues Brothers song?
Well, you know what? If you played if you could play from the movie, the Jailhouse Rock from the end of the movie, that solo that Steve Cropper rips off there, you know, that just is just man, it's amazing, that just great guitar. I mean, there's so many great songs that we did do. I love going back to Miami just because there's the heat of it, but Steve Cropper's guitar solo in the Jailhouse, our version of Jailhouse Rock, amazing.
Well, we'll go out with that. So, all right, we're going to go out with that. Dan, thank you. Crystal Head Vodka. Try Crystal Head Vodka.
See at Cappies and Yankee Spirits. Check their websites.
Yeah, check the websites for Cappies in Peabody, Yankee Spirits in Norwood. You can meet Dan today, and we'll see you tonight.
Stoneham and Norwood Ford. Your place for fine Ford motor vehicles.
All right, Dan Aykroyd, we'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.